Construction meets the world's most popular board game in new Monopoly Construction Edition. Amass or possibly lose great fortunes. Every space on the board is packed with both iconic construction brands and incredible infrastructure projects in this new exciting edition of Monopoly. You'll need to make smart decisions to come out on top. Have you got what it takes to succeed in the world of construction? Search Construction Monopoly to order now.
Well, welcome once again to Reconstruction, the weekly podcast from the Construction Index, under slightly different circumstances to normal. Well, our circumstances are the same. We're still totally isolated from each other, but you can hear us all in one place. But as no one will be surprised to hear, the circumstances in which we are doing our podcast have changed quite substantially from this time last week. And of course, the coronavirus crisis will be the main topic of our conversation today. I'm David Taylor. I'm the editor of the Construction Index magazine, and I'm joined as usual by my colleague Phil Bishop, online news editor for the Construction Index. Good morning, Phil.
Hello, David. Morning.
And how are you coping? Yeah, I'm very well. How about you?
All things considered, very well indeed.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, the construction industry actually is top of the news headlines today.
Front page of the BBC News website as we speak.
Indeed.
Things are moving so quickly, David, that it's a bit frightening that we're talking on Wednesday morning, the 25th, 11 a.m. Maybe we just do a very quick recap on what we know so far and then try and avoid being too topical so that we're not out of date.
Well, absolutely. Yes, go on, just bring us up to date. Give us the news bullet points then, Phil.
Well, the past 48 hours have been an awful lot about, there have been photos and shared in social media of packed tube trains and packed construction site canteens, and a lot of concern about how the big lockdown that the Prime Minister announced on Monday night doesn't seem to be working in parts of the economy of society, particularly in construction industry. Masses of people on social media saying, oh, this is awful, shut down construction now. But the official line from the government remains, and I quote from a tweet put out by the Housing Secretary, Robert Jenrick, shortly after the Prime Minister's address to the nation on the evening of Monday the 23rd. Quote, advice for the housing, construction and building maintenance industries. If you can work from home, do so. If you are working on site, you can continue to do so, but follow Public Health England guidance on social distancing. That remains the official position. What we now have is an official site operating procedures guide for construction sites, how to cope with coronavirus, how to stay clean and minimise the spread of it and so on, which essentially means cleaning and spraying and staying 2 metres apart from everyone.
And who's provided that guidance,
well,
Phil?
Build UK, I believe, are responsible for writing it, but Construction Leadership Council has put its stamp on it to give it some sort of badge of authority, even though the authority of the Construction Leadership Council has been slightly queered by the fact that they've put out a statement saying, this is the situation, folks, carry on. You can carry on working on site if you need to, or if that's the best thing to do, as long as you can do it safely. Now, Construction Leadership Council has got all sorts of people on it, but not many actual building company representatives. But two of them are David Thomas of Barratt and Mark Reynolds of Mace, both of whom, through the Construction Leadership Council, are saying, keep working, folks. And they've promptly shut their own sites down. So that's a bit of a mixed message.
Yeah.
But I just read, just before we started talking, that Build UK, this pan-industry trade federation, has put out something saying that they had a conference call with most of their contractor members yesterday saying that, what are we going to do? And there's a big consensus developing now that more and more sites are going to shut down. So by the time you're listening to David and I now, many more construction sites will have shut down or at least gone down to, hate to talk about skeleton staff when we're going through a pandemic, but yeah. Skeleton staff. But the initial few bunch that were shut down yesterday were on the house builders, Galliard, Bovis, Barratt, Taylor, Wimpey, Persimmon, yeah, among others. Contractors, ISG, Multiplex, Spellar Metcalf, Mace, Carey's, amongst others. Now, these aren't suddenly all absolute everyone off, but these are people who said, we're winding down, we're closing what we can, we're taking action, we're not just carrying on as normal on site. I mean, no one's carrying on as normal through their businesses, but even sites are changing. So that is where we are. Things are winding down.
There seems to be a sort of caveat here, because people are saying, I mean, people like Andy Burnham, the mayor of Manchester, was saying on the BBC this morning, or sorry, yesterday on Newsnight, that, oh, yes, I think that all construction sites should close down, all except for essential works. And when he was asked what that meant, he said, well, safety works. And there's no real definition of that that I can see. I suppose that it's a value judgment. You have to decide as an employer, as a contractor, or perhaps as a client, I don't know, whether or not your site and the work you're doing on that site constitutes essential work. There's no accepted definition. So it's very difficult to know whether or not you should close a site or not.
No, well, the way I see it, it's the sliding scale. I mean, if you're fixing the boiler of a hospital that's treating coronavirus patients, then that's urgent and that needs doing.
Yeah.
And there's a sliding scale of that, that in the current climate, it's probably more important to fix the boiler of a 93-year-old isolated person on their own at home than it is to come and change the fuse on my electric guitar or whatever. That's not quite.
Can't you do that yourself?
Well, of course I can. I'm trying to make a point that there are.
Yeah, all right then. Yeah,
so there are some domestic maintenance jobs which are clearly more important than others. Now, within that, I mean, there are an awful lot of maintenance people out there. Just outside my own house, I can't hear them this morning, funnily enough, and I don't think they've finished. But yesterday we had road maintenance crew resurfacing, re-tarmacking the road outside my house. A friend of mine happened to be on the gang, and I said, you know, you've not been sent home yet. And said, oh, no, we're frontline, we're construction industry.
Yeah.
We're urgent and emergency services.
Yeah.
So there are sites that, you know, are carrying on. And I suppose if you've started filling in potholes, and by which you've stripped off the top layer and you've left ironwork standing up, it's probably better to go finish the job off if it's a quick one-day job than to leave it bare. But if you've not started, probably better not to start at all.
Yeah, exactly. There are numerous pronouncements from various people in the industry about whether or not to carry on working or to close a site completely and keep everybody at home. But a lot of them are still very ambiguous. I mean, there was a statement by Unite, the construction union, saying that the government must announce that they will take urgent action to ensure the construction sites will be safe, and if not, that displaced workers will have their jobs and income protected, irrespective of being directly employed or self-employed, which seems to have several different demands built into it.
I think we're in cake and eat it country here, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think so. I also noticed that the Builders Merchants Federation have urged their members to remain open because they are an essential link in the supply chain, and that if people are doing urgent or essential construction work, they obviously need to have the materials and the supplies in order to carry that out. So by inference, builders merchants are also frontline emergency workers and need to stay open. But, you know, some people might say that that isn't the case.
Well, I think that, well, as long as there's building work going on, materials are needed to feed the building sites.
Yeah.
And I think the issue of the builders merchants, a lot of them have shut their doors over the past couple of days, but I think that things are still happening behind the scenes. Deliveries which are already booked in are still being delivered.
Yeah.
And I think what they want to do is stop not just the general public on places which general public can walk into, but also traders coming into the stores,
yeah,
so that everything is done by phone, online. You know, drop a couple of drop bags of sand at the end down the road, and don't come and talk to us, and send the paperwork in the post, and we won't come near each other, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way it's going. It'd be interesting to know to what extent those builders, merchants, staff who have went home yesterday, thinking that they were now just going to spend the duration sitting at home, have now had the call today after this conversation between the Builders Merchant Federation and the government, saying, bit hasty, back to work, please. I think there will be some people having to come back to work, but I think in general, we won't see flashing lights above the doors of builders' merchants welcoming the public in.
Rather like a bit of an about-face, rather like that of the London Underground, which, of course, reduced services and then found that because they had fewer trains, they were all packed to the gunwales with people trying to get to work. So they've restored a normal service, I think, as normal as possible, in order to try and provide sufficient capacity that people aren't squashed in like sardines. And it was also interesting that it seemed to be the overcrowding of the tube trains that focused people's attention on construction workers, because they seem to be the people cramming mainly onto the tube trains in London. People were tweeting pictures of crowded tube trains, most people in there.
But it's not just construction workers. If you think about
the
number of big hospitals, I mean, there are proper urgent people needing to get to work in London. So even if you just put everyone who works in the health service, from surgeons down to porters, down to delivery, whatever, I mean, it's a vast organisation, as we know, the NHS. All of those people have to go in, go home every day.
Yeah.
And I can easily imagine that if you stop the tube train carriage and say, right, anyone who's not working for the NHS in some form or another, either directly or indirectly, get off this train now, you might find only three people got off anyway.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, here's an idea. I saw this on social media this morning. Somebody tweeted that there are, I think, 20,000 London black cab drivers, basically, who can't operate now because they can't have people in their cabs. And so this person was saying, well, look, why don't we ask these black cab drivers if they can take the key workers to work in their cabs, and they get paid and the key workers get to work without having to mix with other people on the tube. Just something to consider, apparently. I don't know whether that's a good idea, but I should think that your average site labourer would relish the thought of getting a black cab to and from work every day.
I quite like that idea. Well, you mentioned what you've seen on social media. What saddened me is particularly with this issue of whether construction sites should be shut down or not, it's quite how bitter it's all become. There's no sort of discussion of the nuance and the complications of it all. You've either got people saying, well, we need to make a living, I've got children to feed, and I'm self-employed, I need to go to work. Or you've got people saying, this is profit before people, this is terrible. And some of the comments are, as things always are on these wretched sites, and getting quite bitter. And it was only a week or two ago when I thought, oh, isn't it lovely that all that divided nation of Brexit is in the past, with all your leavers and remainers arguing, and we're now all united in this battle, in this crisis together. At least, if nothing else has come out of this crisis, there's a bit of, you are a united kingdom again. And then the past 48 hours, 24 hours, I'm thinking, no, we're leavers and remainers all over again. We've got to remain on site, leave site now. It's all over this issue of... So...
That's absolutely right. People who are in an entrenched position will perceive the prevailing circumstances, according to their prejudices, I think. And things are, as you say, it's a very fast-moving situation, and what we've just said might all be completely redundant in a few hours' time.
Well, I think we should lighten the conversation, David. I think it's all getting a bit heavy here.
I think we should. Before we do, though, I think we ought to say that, you know, here we are chatting away merrily about this coronavirus business as if we're blithely sort of unaffected by it. We are actually affected, and we do empathise with people out there who are suffering as a result of this. We have, as a business... have suffered. The magazine, of course, is very expensive these days to produce a printed magazine. I'm in the process of putting together the April issue of the magazine at the moment, which will be printed and circulated as per usual. Nothing will change in respect to that. But going forward, things will change. Things are going to have to change. We may not be able to produce the magazine in printed format for the next couple of issues. We will be publishing online, there's no doubt about that, and your daily news feed will continue. When Boris Johnson sat in front of the nation last Monday afternoon and made his pronouncement, it seemed to spark a rush a lot of advertisers phoned us up and said, we can't afford to advertise, we're cancelling everything. Others, I have to say, have been really good and have said, doesn't matter, we'll stand by you. And I'd name check, for example, JCB, VP, PLC and Caterpillar have all said that they are going to continue to support us, as have others. One or two have said, no, we're cancelling everything. And if you don't like it, we're not going to work with you again. And so there's a whole spectrum of attitudes to that. But we will continue to publish the magazine, if only online. We will be combining the May and June issues, and that will now be publishing in June. And of course, we always combine July and August. So that again will be publishing in August. We're assuming that it will be online only, but if things improve, we might be able to print again. But we'll see. And we're hoping that things will be back almost to normal, as near to normal as possible by September. So that's our situation.
But as you say, still going to be here doing this podcast, aren't we, David?
We are going to continue doing the podcast, yes, because I think that's quite an important contribution that we can make at the moment. So there we are. But you wanted to move on, Phil, quite rightly, to perhaps lighter topic. Would you like to?
Well, I just think that so many people are now experiencing working from home for the first time, that you and I have had it for some time, that I think we can give people some, from our perspective, some tips of how to get the best out of working from home. And yeah, my first two that come to mind are, make sure the people you're working at home with recognise and appreciate the fact that you're working from home and you're not just looking at singing cat videos on YouTube and are available to paint the spare room or do any odd jobs that may doing that if you're
absolutely
in your home office or the corner of the room, which is your home office, you are working. Yep. My second rule for home working is get a dog.
When you shut away on your own at home, supposedly working, of course, things like messing around with the dog and playing the fiddle and stuff like that is all very well. But working from home is something which a lot of people will find difficult to do. They won't be used to the isolation. They won't be able to concentrate, maybe, and perhaps they'll be subject to lots of distractions. But we have got some, quite fortuitously, expert advice on hand today with our very first podcast guest. Let me introduce Jackie Bishop, a learning and development consultant who runs a management training and development business, BBD Consult, and has several of the top international banks among her clients. Now, Jackie has been doing this for about 20 years, but for the past 10 years or so, she's been increasingly specialised in delivering virtual training programmes. So not webinars, but interactive online sessions specifically aimed at those who have to manage remote teams, often dispersed around the world, or those who themselves work in isolation. She also, I believe, lectures at the University of Boston. And Jackie, it just so happens, we have a declaration to make here, that you are married to our esteemed colleague, Phil Bishop, who is still on the line. Jackie, welcome to Reconstruction, and thank you for joining us. What advice have you got for us? All these people now working from home, what do they need to know?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I feel privileged that I'm your first guest.
It's a pleasure.
Well, let's start at the beginning. It's a challenging aspect. It's challenging when you're new to this kind of work. So what you've first of all got to remember is you've lost all that structure in your day. You used to set the alarm, jump on a train, jump in the car, get to work, start work. You saw other people going for lunch, so you knew it was lunchtime. Suddenly, that's gone. You are in charge of yourself. For the first couple of days, fantastic. But then it can get challenging. First couple of days, you're in your pajamas all day. You're watching Netflix for hours. You're binge watching TV all night. And I'm mentioning that because of my husband. But eventually, as humans, we do crave habits. We need habits. I know when I get the 7:16 to London, in my case, there, I've got to be at the station. So the most challenging thing is creating those habits ourselves and being disciplined. So to answer your question in short form, how do we do this? It's tricky to answer quickly, but really what we've got to do is find a structure that works for us. Now, when you go to work, often you're forced to work 9 to 5, you take an hour for lunch. So what you've got to do is find a structure for you at home. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be 9 to 5. It might be my alarm set for 8 a.m. because I've got that luxury. I'll do a 45-minute walk with the dog in the morning, since you have that luxury.
Of course.
Then at 9:30 to 12, I will work. The important thing is then you take a break. What's really bad is if we sit at our desk for hours, grab a sandwich, keep going. You need that physical break. So get away from your workspace. That's the general approach. Find new habits and stick with them.
Tell us a bit about what you do, Jackie. What's your actual role and how do you do it?
Right. Well, the role has changed significantly, actually. And if I come with your end comment, I'm a lecturer for Boston University in the States. Mm-hmm. Campuses have closed down. So now I'm doing exactly what we're doing. I'm on video with students. I'm recording lectures. So we're teaching, lecturing remotely while these students are working from home. The other side of my role is for companies. And traditionally, we had classroom sessions. Now, more and more, we're going to this virtual environment. So I'm delivering training courses doing exactly what you and I are doing right now.
So this is normal for you?
This is completely normal. We've been doing it for years. So I've learned to master this sense of isolation. So people log in. We're training for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. Can't do a full day online. That'd be too,
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, yeah.
And they log in and we have interactive activities on screen where they can type in my screen. I can type in their screen. They can share experience. So we're replicating the classroom environment. The nice thing, and I would recommend this, David, using the tech, you can use this tech informally with colleagues. Many companies will give you the apps that they prefer you to use. But if you're using them informally with colleagues, don't forget the chit chat. We usually meet for a sandwich. I'll grab a sandwich in the canteen with someone. Sit down some days, turn your camera on with a colleague, have lunch with them.
Yes, good idea. Yeah.
Don't eat noodles.
Well, as Phil and I were saying just a few minutes ago, it's that social interaction that a lot of people will miss. So I can see that if you were to consider Skype or whatever, or Zoom or whatever you're using, simply as a work tool, get on there, do the work, turn it off, carry on, then that does tend to curtail your personal interactions. I think your advice is very, very good to actually use it for just casual interactions so that you can exchange ideas with people. Because if you're working in an office environment, you have this interaction happening all the time. You probably don't notice it because you're focusing on the job in hand, but somebody will come past, tap you on the shoulder, say, do you want a cup of tea? Something like that. That's not going to happen when you're working on your own. You won't have that just little interaction with other people. And I suppose the risk of the loneliness or the sense of isolation creeping up on you is a danger there. So, yes, I can see that apps like this used in a more sort of informal way have value as well.
Yes, I had a colleague of mine, actually it was Mother's Day in the UK on Sunday, and they had four households on Zoom and mother on Zoom, so all physically remote, and each had a glass of wine and lunch. So I thought that was a rather nice way to do it. But we can do that at work. I'm sorry to be used the term, but those water cooler moments.
You know,
we still need those. We still need that little bit of chit chat. And you're right, David, those ideas. It's bouncing off other people, getting those ideas, jumping in on projects. So
many years ago, before I was working from home, I worked in an office. We had one or two colleagues working in an open plan office of, I don't know, 30 people. We had one or two colleagues who were pioneers in working from home, going back to the 1980s. They were working on their own from home. And those of us in the office were always, we weren't suspicious. We knew damn well that those people working at home weren't really working at all, and they had it cushy. So for people who are working at home now, how do you win over the people back in the office that you are really a valued player and you're doing proper work?
Now, this is an interesting one, because when we go to work, people assume we're working because we're there. We arrived at 10 to 9. We're ready to go at 9 o'clock. We're there till 5. We might even stay to 6 o'clock. Jackie worked hard today. Now, I can't prove that to anyone, so it relies on trust. Now, if you turn that around, then what we're doing at work is input focused. I am putting in the hours. So it's almost a mindset shift to output focused. This is what I've achieved. And when you start to think and work like that, and as a manager, we start to say, this is the output I'd like to see, people will produce results. And what's fascinating, and often quicker. So rather than saying, I'm going to work for 3 hours to achieve X, they target achieving X. And that might only take 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But the boss knows what they're delivering and they know what their target is.
It could be, maybe it's the boss who would struggle most with this, because how can you manage a team when you're on your own? I mean, they're not, you haven't got your team there to shout at. So presumably they might feel I'm not in control anymore.
Yeah. So one of the good things a manager can start to do is, what is the output I want from each person? Now, the great things there is that the team member knows what is desired. So you've got a very transparent output, if you like, transparent agreement. And at the beginning of working longer term from home, agree the contacts. So agree that every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock, we'll have a quick chat up, catch up on the phone. On Fridays at 2 p.m., we'll have a quick virtual meeting to check what's going on. But agree the contact points. So the manager then knows when they're getting the feedback, this is what I've achieved. And for the team members who are isolated, they know when they're having human interaction.
So Jackie, supposing you're a site worker, you're working on a construction site and the contractor closes the site down, sends you home, and there's no work that you can do at home. You're basically site-based, you're doing site work. Any advice for people like that, sent home with nothing to do?
Yes, get off Netflix. You know what? That's even more challenging, because if you're a site worker, you're used to being physical. Yeah. So you're taking a double whammy. Not only are you missing that interaction with your work colleagues every day, you're now forced to be physically still, if you like.
Yeah.
So the same principles apply. Think about all those lovely jobs at home you're meant to be doing. But again, get a structure. Perhaps you're homeschooling because of the current situation. So do you get up and you do an hour of an odd job first thing, then you spend some time with the kids, then you have a break to do something like watch a movie. But again, find an habitual structure in the day.
Yeah.
If you can get outside, and it depends where you are in the world at the minute, then obviously you need to get some more physical activity back into that structure of your day. So just find a routine and stick with it, but get the physical activity in there too.
So, well, look, Jack, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure having our first guest on the podcast and offering such timely advice for people in these circumstances. It's been a pleasure having you on, and maybe you can join us again at some future period when everybody else is now permanently working from home, and we can talk about it again. But in the meantime, thanks very much for joining us. Good luck with the work. I'm sure you're going to be busy under the current circumstances. And well, that's it, folks, for this week's Reconstruction, the weekly podcast from the Construction Index. Everything might have changed by the time you listen to this podcast. As we mentioned earlier, things are moving very, very fast. But we will still be here this time next week, and we'll be commenting on what's been going on, hopefully with some other topics to talk about as well. We don't want to talk about only one thing every week. But in the meantime, good luck. And if you're still going to work, stay safe. Let's hope that things settle down very quickly and we can all return to normal. But in the meantime, thanks very much, and goodbye from me and goodbye from Phil.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, he's in the bath and washing his hands.
Thank you for listening to Reconstruction, the podcast from the Construction Index. To keep up to date with the latest construction news every day, visit theconstructionindex.co.uk. You can find the latest issue of the Construction Index magazine in WH Smith, an independent newsagent UK-wide. Use our store locator to find your nearest stockist today at theconstructionindex.co.uk/magazine.